Welcome to the Ask Brian Podcast Radio Show, where you'll hear from some of the most successful founders and CEOs of businesses and startups, sharing their best advice for success and even some stories on how their mistakes actually make them even more successful. Now, here are your hosts, Brian and Tracy.
Welcome to the Ask Brian Radio Show on KHTS FM 98.1 AM 1220, your hometown station.com. Jen, whoo, that was a mouthful, but I am so happy to be here today.
You did it. You nailed it. Perfect.
I nailed it. And of course, I am without my co-host today, but you know, Jen, rarely do I ever get quote unquote one up on Peter because, you know, he's always one step ahead, so he thinks. But today he's on vacation in Hawaii and I hate it because he's so excited about who our guest is today that he is even going to try to call in from his vacation. He's so excited about our guest, which I will let everyone meet in just a moment. But first, Jen, you and I get the illustrious opportunity to talk about the E's.
Sure, let's do it. I should have these written down, so I'm going to kind of wing it with you.
Well, that's okay. You don't really have to wing it because I've done it so many times that I know it. So we're obviously going to start with the most important E, which is our engineer.
Oh, thank you.
I know, you probably feel a little humble doing your own yay.
I mean, but it is kind of weird. Yeah, it's a little strange.
That's okay. Well, and you know, we're just not going to let it go by the wayside that because it's you and me opening the show that we're going to just throw in the estrogen E for that too.
Yes, that also. That's even better. Yeah.
Because we don't often get that opportunity. And no. But I think the thing that's the most important about Ask Brian, why we spell it with an E, there's no one named Brian on the show, not today anyway, but it's because of the E is for experts. And our experts that we bring on the show are always phenomenal. Today is no exception. And we always like to just tee up the expert formula, if you will, which is that you've got to have a minimum of 10,000 hours in your industry or business category. And that's usually, you know, if you do the 40-hour a week gig over 52 weeks, that's about 5 years. But come on, Jen, you and I, we've interviewed enough people on this show to know that they can hit that number pretty high because no one works 40 hours when they're starting up a business, right?
No, that's true. They're living and breathing and eating their business, I'm sure.
Yes. And so then we're going to just drop in the excitement and the enthusiasm.
Yes.
And all the positive energy because we've just got so much of it today, right?
Well, and I love one of the E's is also my favorite because I am a big Grease fan. I'm a big musical theater fan in general. So every time you guys talk about Grease, I just get extra excited. I love it.
Oh, yes, because of course we're electrifying. I mean, come on.
Yes, there you go.
I love it. Okay, well, without further ado, which is one of Peter's favorite words, I'm going to say that for him. He loves it because it's all vowels and one consonant, which is just kind of strange, but so is he. So who cares, right?
It works.
All right. So we are going to bring on our guest today. Our guest is Barry Meisel, and he is the president and chief operating officer of MyGray Group, which is your home for Game Worn jerseys. And we're going to learn so much fun stuff today. I had not even know what a huge market it was for this until I met Barry. So Barry, welcome to the Ask Brian Show.
Thank you, Tracy. I'm actually glad Peter's not here because when you told me about this show, first thing I think of is I've got to remember everybody's name, and there's no Brian, you're Tracy, and then a Peter. So I'm glad I'm just talking to you because you and I have known each other, and I'm glad to be here.
I know, and you know what's so fun, everybody, is normally I don't get the opportunity to actually say that I've met our guest in person. But just a couple of weeks ago, I had the most fantastic opportunity to be in New York, which is one of my all-time favorite cities. And that's where you're from, right, Barry?
Absolutely. That's right. Born and raised.
And our audience knows that I own a company called Produce Your Podcast. And just to let our listeners know how we connected, so Produce Your Podcast is the proud production partner of a podcast called the NHL Wraparound. And the hosts, Neil Smith and Vic Morin, are fantastic essential historians and an enthusiast for hockey. But you and Neil Smith go way back, right?
Way back. God, you talk about the 10,000 hours. I thought you told me it's 10,000 hours a year. That's what I've been doing.
You know what? We're probably going to borrow that line and use it in the next episode, but you're absolutely right. It feels like
Neil and I, for sure. I think Neil and I have been going around and around for about 10 million hours. Yeah. Neil and I both grew up on opposite ends of the hockey spectrum as kids. He was drafted at age 20. I got into the business as a sports writer at age 20. We met each other along the way, him as a scout, me as a writer, trying to work my way up. I worked my way up to the New York Daily News, where I covered the New York Rangers. When he became general manager of the New York Rangers, we had become friends years earlier, like I said, working our way up. And as luck would have it, we were together in New York. We forged business relationship where business has to, because I'm covering the team he's running. Business came first, second, third, and fourth, but we remain friends. And then over the years, we've gotten friendly and friendlier. And now here we are. Oh my God, it's like 30-something years later.
Well, I think I actually went up the opinion ladder in Peter's mind, even though Peter and I have been doing the show together for like 5 years. I think like all of a sudden my reputation went up because he's such a huge fan of the Rangers and the Islanders and the hockey and Neil Smith. And so he's really missing out today. So we'll just have to continue to make him jealous with your stories.
Well, then he better call in.
Yeah, right? So tell us a little bit about, so you are, you know, obviously you have a really strong background in sports journalism, and you wrote a book, right, about the Rangers series?
I've written 3 books, yes. I grew up, as many New Yorkers, rabid sports, New York City, one of the hotbeds of all professional sports, and it was my dream to be a sports writer. I became a sports writer. I was a sports writer for approximately 20 years, but I was also a collector of sports memorabilia, primarily game-worn jerseys, which was a niche collector aspect of a very big hobby that very few people did back in the 80s and 90s. It became a labor of love. It became a real passion. And as a sports writer, as I was developing contacts in the sports world, I realized it was an opportunity to build a new business. As luck would have it, my kids were 4 and 6. My 20 years at the Daily News, it afforded me a little opportunity and a little safety to try something new. I found a partner. I'm the my in my gray. He's the gray in my gray. And Bob Gray and I decided to start a game-worn jersey company. And because I was in the sports business and knew people like Neil Smith and Lou Lamoriello, who was president of New Jersey Devils, and John Mara, who was president of the New York Giants, I'd also covered football and covered the New York Giants besides the New York Rangers and the New Jersey Devils, I decided to build a new business. Migray was an idea of mine in 1997. I had no idea that I'd be on podcasts 27 years later talking about something that's a major, major industry now, the marketing, sale, collecting of game-worn jerseys, literally the uniforms that come off the players' backs. Migray is the number one authenticator in the world for game-worn jerseys. We partner with players and leagues and teams. And if you go to any major auction, if an item is authenticated by Migray, you know it's real, and it goes for far, far greater sums of money. We're the insurance policy for collectors who want to know that game-worn jerseys are actually literally the garment coming off the player's back. So I parlayed my sports, my hockey love as a sports writer into transitioning to private business, and it's exceeded my wildest dreams.
I mean, honestly, like, that is just like the entrepreneurial dream come true, to be able to take something that you love so passionately and be able to make a living off of it. I mean, I feel like I'm blessed to be one of those few people, because I absolutely, literally love everything. I mean, you can't love everything about your business every day, of course, because it is, you know, I'm not a unicorn, or, you know, people might say that I look through rose-colored lenses, but I am a realist when it comes to being an entrepreneur. But fundamentally, to be able to wake up every day and create a business and develop and grow a business in an industry or a category that you love so much, I mean, that has to be so special for you, right?
Of course, of course. Anybody will tell you. It's like if you look behind the curtain, you see the highs and lows of any aspect of life and the aspect of any business. But you're right. This was an industry that needed a business like mine. Nobody had ever done it. And I think we all have that dream that, oh, I wish once the light bulb would go off over my head and come up with an idea that clicks. I am fortunate and I don't forget any day of the year, any year of my life that when the light bulb went off, I went for it. And so far it's been successful and I'm knocking on wood because I never believe tomorrow's guaranteed. But in a business where authentication is everything, I'm determined to make sure that what we do is real and helps the hobby and is an asset to, in this case, the sports collecting community.
Well, and I'd love to just take a moment to, A, celebrate that you went from one essentially like expertise in journalism and sports writing and being involved in that media side of the business and then actually starting a business, although in the same category, 180 degree different type of business. And it sounds like this was your first and it has been your only and truly and obviously very successful business. What were some of the things that, I mean, did you feel intimidated by it? Was it just a heck yes, we're just going to do this and figure it out? Like what were those first kind of first year to, I don't know, 1 to 3 years like for you?
Well, that's funny you should mention that because I think as I look back sometimes, and I've said this to my kids, sometimes it's better not to know the potholes and the pitfalls because it might detour you or prevent you from chasing the dream or the idea. I had some idea of what the potholes were going to be, but to answer your question directly, the first 3 years were tough but exciting because I was talking to people, both collectors on the buy side, people who wanted what we were trying to offer, and on the sell side, the teams that didn't really understand that this market, this niche hobby was existing. And I had the rare opportunity to be talking to eager people on both sides. The teams were telling me, wow, you can make money off this? This really is a thing? And the collectors were saying, oh, please go make a deal with the New York Rangers. We can't get their stuff. We're trying to find it. And the only way you can get it is luck if a player, you know, sells a jersey or something slips out the back door, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I had willing participants on both sides. It was my job to connect the two. I was able to do that because of my credibility as a sports writer. At first they said to me, are you crazy? You're going to start a business selling old uniforms and you're going to prove they're real? But when I told them that, yes, that was my plan and here's the amount of money I'm willing to pay you for the rights, and here's the deals I'm willing to sign for these rights, they understood I wasn't crazy anymore. And what I explained to them and educated them at the beginning was that there was a real marketplace that was embryonic. It was really just growing, just starting, but it was real. And I felt, you put your trust in me, you know me, so you know I'm not a fly-by-night guy that's just going to not do what I say I'm going to do. And I think there will be a connection here between the teams, who had no idea this was happening, anybody cared about this stuff, the collectors who wanted the stuff and didn't know how to tell it was real, and I was the middleman. And that was the light bulb idea, that I had credibility because the teams knew me as a sports writer. The collectors didn't know me personally yet, but here was a company that was saying, we will stand behind this item 100%. We will prove every jersey you buy is real. Here's how we'll prove it. Here's the contract between my Gray and the Rangers. And that's how we started developing. The fear for me, to get back to your original question, was, of course, it's always about how much. Could I start a business and do the payroll and hire the staff and spend the time and rent the offices to make it worthwhile? That was the holding your breath moment for a couple of years. And you're right. For a couple of years, I didn't make a lot of money. And I did work the 10,000 hours. I probably worked 10,000 hours that first year because I didn't have a shipping department. So it was successful. There I was from 9 to 5 on the phones, making the deals and selling the jerseys, go home, see my kids, have dinner, see my wife, come back and wrap the packages for UPS to pick up the next morning. That's like any entrepreneur starting out, you're doing everything. And once I saw the money coming in, the business looking like it would be profitable, the satisfied customers, the team saying, hey, this makes sense to me, I'd say that was about 2-3 years is right, because we started in 97, and in 2002, the NHL came to me as a league and said, hey, we understand you're working with the Devils, you're working with the Rangers. We made a deal with the expansion team, the original Arizona Phoenix Coyotes, and they said, can you do this for the entire league? And that's really what put us on the map in 2002. So that was the threshold time, 5 years after we started.
I mean, okay, so entrepreneur dream come true number two, which is, you know, people, when they start their businesses, that's such a huge aspirational, like, dream come true, is to think that the NHL would approach you, because sales and business development are, as you know, and we talk a lot about on this show, doesn't matter what your business is, you have to be able to sell yourself and sell your business and generate revenues. So that's amazing. How did you feel when you got that outreach? Were you just like high-fiving everybody?
It was a pretty exciting time because, look, I did have the advantage of the National Hockey League people. That wasn't the business people, but they do their own due diligence internally before they pick up the phone. They knew I was a credible guy. I'd covered the National Hockey League starting in 1984. I had been a columnist for the Hockey News, probably the number one hockey magazine. So people knew my name. I had written my first book, Mike Bossy, a Hall of Famer. Sadly, he died not too long ago, but a very, very popular and terrific hockey player who is in the Hall of Fame. I wrote his autobiography when he retired in 1988. So my name was known. So when the NHL started to hear that teams were doing this deal with this fledgling company who was selling and guaranteeing game-worn jerseys, and they saw it was Barry Mizell, I'm sure people said, hey, I heard of that guy. Yes, he was a sports writer for many years. We know him. He's not some, you know, babe in the woods, some guy out of nowhere. So, yes, yeah. When they called me, it was, hey, we've heard about you. We know who you are. And would you like to talk to us? We have an idea. So,
It was
so exciting.
So exciting. And Barry, one of the things that I want to ask you, because I know a lot of our listeners are wondering about this, the technology that was available to you in 97 versus what's available now in 2024. I mean, you were talking about how you were wrapping the packages and sending them, but how have you been able to scale the business and leverage all of the enhancements in technology over these years?
Well, certainly the technological advancements have been a boon. But it really comes down to, in this niche industry, proving a player wore a jersey is really a lot of meat and potatoes, nuts and bolts. The chain of custody, having a company that sets up a direct relationship with a team, being in the locker rooms and witnessing the games, taking the jerseys right after the games are over, matching the shirts, the actual garments, to game footage, photographs, video are critical. Anybody can tell when you wear a shirt 7 times, your own garment, your own shoes, your own anything, things happen to them that make them unique. Anybody could say Michael Jordan wore this red jersey that says Chicago on it because it's a Chicago Bulls jersey. But we literally use these techniques to prove that it's the actual jersey that was worn by Michael Jordan. Now, in 1997, there was no digitized photography. We can literally, and it's no different than, we compare ourselves a lot to detectives in a police office using fingerprints, because every jersey is a fingerprint, like your shoes. If you wore your shoes 9 times and you got a little scuff on the corner, and then you wore them the 10th time and you took a picture of them, that scuff would show up. It would make it different than someone else's shoes of the same type. If Michael Jordan wore a particular jersey, there's probably 20,000 more that look exactly alike. But we prove through this kind of technology, looking at a shirt, blowing it up 1,000 times to find one thread or one imperfection, and depending on the sport, and we do this for all the sports. So in baseball, a player may slide and there may be some dirt on the tail of his shirt. In football, they get the abrasions and the hits, hockey, the hits when the players crunch into each other and it mars the shirt, the rips and the tears and the sweat stains. In basketball, we get a lot of shirts that get sweat stained, not to mention the garments themselves are, they have kind of breathable holes and breathable fabric that make no two jerseys alike. All of this goes into, I have a team of authenticators. I'm in a two-story building here where our offices are in Branchburg, New Jersey, and I've got a team of authenticators upstairs that do nothing but prove that the jersey that comes to us that I've purchased from the team is the actual garment that the player wore in a given game.
Well, it's so exciting because I mentioned at the beginning of the show for people that are just joining in that I actually had the opportunity to hang out with Barry at an Islanders game, and I actually got to see the magic happen in person. I mean, what are the odds, right? But I would love to share with our audience the story about we're on the way to the game. You're making contact with the guy that has a jersey. So, but you're going to tell the story better than me. So I'm going to turn it over to you to just like how it happened and what happened and then all of the fun details about authenticating that jersey on in real time while I was there.
Tracy, I'm going to put you back on the spot. I'm going to tell a story, but you're going to be my witness on the stand proving that exactly what I'm saying you saw with your very eyes, and that's what my gray always says to its clientele. We're going to prove it, but you're going to see the proof, and you're going to have that oh, wow moment case by case, and I watched your eyes as you watched me show you what had happened. So
It was amazing. I can't wait for you to tell. I still think about it and how I can't see a sports photograph now without thinking about it.
And I wish, I'm sure your listeners are going to say, well, you guys set this up. This is all preordained, but it actually happened and it wasn't expected to happen. And you know that, anyway. And I know that. And hopefully they'll believe us. And I'm an authenticator and I've got to be 100% accurate, tell the truth, or my business is kaput. So I know my credibility is there and you saw it with your very eyes and I know your credibility is there. So every so often, we get the opportunity to buy an historic relic. Where a collector who's owned something for 1 year, 5 years, a million years says, I think I have the real deal and I want to sell it. Well, we had a person who owned a jersey that he thought was game worn and he believed was game worn from Super Bowl III, one of the most important football games in the history of the NFL when the New York Jets beat the Baltimore Colts. And one of the best players in the game, Matt Snell, had a really good game. And it's a historic relic, and who knew it existed? I got a call because my company's well known for authentication. Would you like to buy this jersey? I believe it's real. I'm sure it's real. And I said, I will buy this jersey if I can authenticate it. We spent a week going back and forth. We agreed on the price, but we did not agree on the authenticity until I said, I'm not going to make a deal until I could have the shirt in my hands, do the research, and be satisfied that it was real. Now, usually, it takes me weeks and time and my authenticators, and we go through all the system of looking at photographs. But because this gentleman called, we were able to get the material ahead of time. And I met him. Luckily, he lived not far from UBS Arena, where Tracy and I were going to the game together that night. And he literally met us, handed me the shirt, gave me, and I was proud that he trusted my company's reputation enough, was that we're going to take this shirt and either return it to him if we don't believe in the authenticity, or buy it and pay him if it did. And I had all the information, photographs, all the forensics I was talking about earlier, literally on my phone, and he said, look, I know it's the jersey. I know when you see it, you're going to agree. And he was right. And I did it right at the table where we were sitting, and Tracy was watching me do my thing, examine the shirt, look at the unique marks. The shirt was really beat up. Football jerseys from the 1960s were not not used for 1 minute. They were used over and over and over again. And this shirt, it looked like it went through the war, and there was a picture of Matt Snell during this famous game, and there were a couple of repairs, really unique sew marks that you couldn't duplicate, coupled with the wear and tear of the shirt, and boom, there it was. And we all were just like, our mouths were open as we said, that is exactly the shirt that's in your hands with a picture from 1969.
It was more exciting than the game that night, right? Like we were all Vic Morin, Neil Smith, host of the NHL wraparound, you, me. We're like hovering around this jersey and you show us the picture of those stitches and then you show me the actual jersey, you're holding it in your hand, and those stitches, the exact pattern and the grid of those stitches, the repair stitches are right there. Oh, it was so exciting. Authentication is not easy. I saw that firsthand for myself. And just again, just such an exciting story. But I want to go back to some of more of the entrepreneurial learning curve lessons, if you will. One of the things you mentioned when you were introducing yourself and how you started the business is that you started with a partner. And a lot of times having a business partner can be more challenging than having a wife or a husband. So I'd love for you to share just some of your learning curve opportunities, the growth opportunities, and how you navigate having a business partnership successfully for this amount of years.
I would say our partnership is very unique. You know, I don't have a business background. My background was, as I've said, in sports journalism, but I knew enough to know that many businesses fail because of that lack of synergy. Once again, I got real lucky. When I had this idea, I was a person with great contacts, great idea, no money. I met Bob Gray, and I'll tell you in a second how I did. He was a guy with great idea, no contacts, a lot of money. What happened was, as this idea started percolating in my head, I used to take my son to the local sports memorabilia shop. And the guy was a very friendly neighborhood guy. And we used to talk all the time. My son would go through and look at, you know, spend 4 hours salivating as a six-year-old about buying everything in the store. And I would sit and talk to the proprietor behind the glass. And I told him my idea. I told him, I got, what do you think of this idea? And he said to me, you know what? I know a guy who also in town who collects game-worn jerseys. Do you know him? And he said, I know this guy, Bob Gray. He's the only other guy I know that I've heard of. He comes in once in a while with his kids, and he collects game-worn jerseys. I said, no, I never heard of him. He says, why don't we, let's have lunch one day. We'll bring sandwiches in. I'll introduce you to him. And that happened about a couple of weeks later. And we were sitting around having sandwiches one afternoon when it was quiet in the store. And we started talking to each other about our hobby. And again, this was a niche market that people didn't really know each other. The internet was just starting, but people weren't communicating. There were no chat rooms about game one jerseys. There were no chat rooms about anything. And as we both started talking, we both realized we're both talking about the same idea. And I said to him, well, I'm a sports writer. I got contacts. He says, well, I don't have any contacts, but you know, he owned a trucking company. And I said to him, let's have coffee, you know, another day by ourselves. And we sat down with a legal pad, and basically that was it. I said, I can do this. I'd be willing to run it. He said, I can't run it. I don't have any expertise in sports, but I confront it. And basically that was the deal. He is the financial partner. I am the COO. We made a deal that I run it. I do everything because I had the background. And he was the second of the two board of directors. He was the finance. I was the operations. We agreed upon a system way back when. He leaves me alone. I leave him alone. We've been successful. And I guess we're both really lucky in that it's worked. So there haven't been many issues. We both now, after 27 years, we talk all the time. We go back and forth as to good ideas, bad ideas. And luckily we communicate, which I think is a very important thing that partners need to do. We constantly plan ahead.
I mean, okay, so entrepreneurial dream come true number three. and just so you know, because you have had an opportunity to listen to the show previously, we don't do these entrepreneurial dream come through 1, 2, 3s in any other episode in the last 5 years. This is not something that happens on our show frequently. But the fact that you were able to find a partner that was essentially the yin to your yang is essentially like a needle in a haystack. It's probably like finding that Super Bowl jersey and being able to authenticate it.
And Bob and I recognize that. And we talk about it sometimes that it was fortuitous. It was lucky, but not the but. And because it was this niche market, which everything was so new, I guess it's like if we lived in the 1860s and one guy had a shovel and one guy had a map to where the gold was back when the 49ers were mining gold a century and a half ago, you'd say, oh, wow, we were really lucky because it was there for uncharted territory. And I'm very fortunate and very thankful that we were two of the people that led the way to this new world of sports memorabilia 27 years ago.
Barry, you have been just so fun. I mean, not that I'm surprised because you were so fun hanging out in person, but you've been so fun on the show. I know without a shadow of a doubt, people are going to want to continue this conversation with you. What is the best way if someone wanted to reach out and if they wanted to reach out and get a game worn jersey, first of all, but also just to connect with you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Well, the website, the company is migray.com. That's M as in Mary, MEIGRAY.com. And we run migrayauctions.com. Sales at migray.com will get you an email direct to me. Happy. I love to talk to people, love to communicate with people. And once you get on the website, and I really encourage people to look and see what we've got, you learn about the hobby, you learn about what's available, you learn that there are $100,000 jerseys, but there are $100 jerseys. So depending upon if you're a collector, if you're just interested in getting a real jersey that was on the ice or on the field or on the court, we're the place to go. You'll learn everything about this hobby. And we get a lot of new business, a lot of new collectors who are tired of collecting cards or autographs. They want something that puts them in the arena closer to their favorite team. And that's the thing that I want people to know. The beauty, the fun of our hobby is that you're literally getting a piece of the team. And that really connects with people. We have moms and dads buying a jersey or a puck or a stick from the first game they took their child to. I mean, there's a real connection. We know in the United States, we love nostalgia. It's a crazy thing about our culture. We want to own a piece of, whether it's a movie that we watched or a place we went. And that's what we do for the sports connoisseur.
I think that is so well spoken, and really, I love that community heartfelt connection too. So it's more about just having a piece of merchandise. It's really something that connects to a memory, to a moment, to a milestone, and just what a wonderful business that you have built. And for those of you who just can't get enough of this episode and want to listen to the show on demand, of course, you want to go and search any of your favorite listening platforms for the Ask Brian podcast. And of course, that's ASKBRIEN podcast, where we will be releasing this live show as a podcast. And speaking of podcasts, you are one of the sponsors for the NHL Wraparound podcast, in which, if you give me permission, I would love to give out the promo code so that everybody listening might be able to take advantage of a discount. Are you up for that?
Please do.
Okay, so if you guys are ready to go to migray.com and just one of these game-worn jerseys, you can get 10% off by putting in the promo code WRAP10, and it's case sensitive, so that's WRAP10, and you can get 10% off. And tune into the NHL Wraparound podcast, because you might just get to hear Barry as a guest host on that show too. Yay!
I think that's true, and all you got to do is tell me when you need me.
All right. Well, we will look forward to that. We will look forward to having you back, because I know Peter, who had to miss out because, oh, how sad, he's in Hawaii. But I have a feeling he's going to want to have you back on to continue this conversation. But thank you so much, Barry. You have been an amazing guest, and we really appreciate you.
My pleasure. Tell Peter I'll be happy to come back if he'll have me.
Okay. All right. Well, you've been listening to the Ask Brian Radio Show, KHTS FM 98.1, AM 1220, your hometown station.com, as Peter says, over and out.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Brian Radio Show. You can listen to us every Thursday on KTHS AM 1220 and FM 98.1, or via Facebook Live, or anytime wherever you listen to your podcasts. Visit AskBrian.com to join the conversation and ask us your business questions, and we'll answer them on our next episode. That's AskBrian.com.